Before we go into the Word of God this morning, I want to try to sing one of my favorites at this season of the year, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. To invite our attention this morning to the Word of God, to the book of Psalms, chapter 116. The book of the Psalms, chapter 116. And the title of our message is actually found in verse number 12, where the psalmist asked a very important question that we all need to consider every day, not just at the season of Thanksgiving, but every day of our lives. But the Lord being our helper, we want to go through the entirety of Psalm chapter 116 with the question in verse 12 in the forefront of our thought. So I want to begin by reading verses 12 through 19, Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant, I am Thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all of His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You now for the privilege of praising Your name in the house of prayer and praise. We thank You for this church. I thank You for Bethlehem Church, our members and friends. Make up this body of believers. We pray for Brother Lamont Blunt and Sister Brendan, Brother James and Sister Birdie and all others, Lord, that are on beds of affliction. And I pray Your blessings be upon each and every one of them. Now, O God, bless us, Lord, to worship You in spirit and in truth, for Thy Word teaches that You seek such to worship Thee in that manner. And Father in heaven, I pray that we would not only be thankful to You at the season called Thanksgiving, but we would be thankful to you every day of our lives, every moment of every day, for every breath that we draw and breathe, and every blessing that you bless us with. Forgive us now of our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're not told who the writer of this psalm is, as several of these in this section of the Psalms. The author is not ascribed. It may have been David, but it really doesn't matter if it was David or not, because the message of the psalm is personal for you and for me. And so we can take this Psalm 116 and we can view it as if it were you and me who wrote it and unto our Lord. He starts out in verse 1 by saying, "I love the Lord." Now let's just stop there for a moment. When anyone has a testimony that they love the Lord, that is the greatest evidence that they are a child of God. The Apostle John teaches in 1 John that we love the Lord because He first loved us. And if He loves us, we are His children. And then it becomes evident to those around us that we're God's children because we have love for one another. John said that in 1 John chapter 3. "By this shall all men know that you are my children if you love one another." And I was paraphrasing there. But he says, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications." Now, when you think about that, why should we love the Lord? The first reason that comes to my heart is simply because He is God. He is God, and there's none beside Him. As a child of God, we should first love the Lord for who He is, the God of all creation, the God who created each of us. But then, yes indeed, we are to also love Him because He has heard our voice and our supplication. It makes that relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, more intimate when we believe that He hears our cry. When we are down and cast down and distressed and in trouble or affliction or sickness or whatever it may be, to know and feel in our heart that our Lord has inclined His ear to us is a wonderful cause that should cause us to love Him more and more. The old saying is this, that we should fall more in love with Jesus every day of our life. That we should love Him more today than we did yesterday, because He's worthy of all of our love, adoration, and praise. He says in verse 2, again, "because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live." He's the only one that we can depend on. We love our families and close friends, and we can often depend on them. But there comes times in our lives when they may not be there. And we can always depend on our Lord and Savior. He does indeed incline His ear to the cry of His children. It is said that when Israel cried to the Lord in Egyptian bondage, that He heard their cry and had mercy upon them. The psalmist goes on then in verse 3, saying that the sorrows of death had compassed Him. We don't know if he was referring to losing a loved one or whether he was referring to just the sorrows of sin, and the wages of sin is death. But we find that he says, "The sorrows of death have compassed me. The pains of hell or the grave have gotten hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow." You know, they used to play that song on Hee Haw years ago about woe is me, trouble and sorrow has found me. You know, you don't have to go very far in life to find trouble and sorrow. Usually we'd say that trouble and sorrow find us in this life we live. And so, if we live in this life long enough, we will experience sorrow and trouble. Whether it be the loss of a loved one, whether it be a devastating illness, or whether it be conflict among friends or family, there will be trouble and sorrow in this life. But then he contrasts his trouble and sorrow with calling upon the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul teaches in Romans chapter 10, around verses 8 through 11, he says, "And all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise. When we call upon the Lord, He will answer us, He will incline His ear to us, and He will deliver us from our sorrow and our trouble. Isn't that a wonderful promise of God's Word? It certainly is to me, and I know it is to you. He says, "Then, when in my sorrow I called upon the name of the Lord, saying, O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul." Now, we're so thankful that we have been saved from eternal death to eternal life. Heaven is our home when Christ is in our heart. But we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience more and more of His deliverance every day. Our soul needs delivering from the sorrows of this life every day. And that's what he's there talking about. And then he tells us something about our Lord's attributes. In verse number 5, he says, "Gracious is the Lord." He is gracious. Aren't you thankful for God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Our Lord is gracious to us. Now, second, he says, He is righteous. Third, he says, our God is merciful. He's gracious, righteous, and merciful. Now, His righteousness requires justice for sin. No sin goes unpunished. And so His righteousness was met in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And since Jesus took our sin away, His attributes of grace and mercy have been showered down upon each and every one of us. In mercy, our Lord does not give us what we deserve. We deserve death and hell. But in His grace, He freely gives to us what we do not deserve, and that is life with Him now and eternal life with Him in heaven forever. So He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. The Lord preserves the simple. He preserves His children. We are preserved in Jesus Christ. No one, nothing can pluck us out of our Heavenly Father's hand. We are secure in Jesus Christ. Once saved, we are always saved. We will never be eternally lost. He preserves us. He says, I was brought low, but then He helped me. Have you ever been in a place in your life when you were down so low that you had to look up just to see the bottom? Many of us have experienced it in our lives. But then He says in verse 7, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. We need to return to the rest for our souls. He is bountiful to us. That word carries that idea of the harvest in the fall of the year as we're in now, and a bountiful ingathering of blessings. He has brought us into His rest. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter number 4, teaches us about the rest that we have today. It's in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 9. Now, if you read the chapters 3 and 4 of Hebrews to get the context of this, He's telling, for example, in verse 19 of chapter 3, so we see that they, that is Israel, could not enter into the promised land initially because of their unbelief. And because of their unbelief, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 long years. But then we find in verse 9 of chapter 4, that we have a rest for our soul today. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he who has entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from His. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief that Israel did. And that rest for our soul today is found in the gospel kingdom. It's found in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is found as we are obedient unto Him and enter into that spiritual communion with Him every day. And so the psalmist says, I want to return to that rest for my soul, because it is a bountiful Lord who has blessed me and you. In verse 8, we find a scripture that's also repeated in Psalm 56:13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And that identical verse again is in Psalm 56:13. He has, past tense, He has delivered my soul from death. By the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross, He has done that very thing. He has delivered us from eternal death, and He also has delivered our eyes from tears, from the tears of sorrow and trouble, and our feet from falling. He has placed our feet on the solid rock, and that we can walk according to His word and to His way today. He says this about the steps of our feet in Psalms chapter 37, in verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we fall in sin. Sometimes we fall due to being dismayed by the world in which we live. But regardless of why we fall, He is there to pick us up and set our feet on solid ground so that we can walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Don't you want to live in the land of the living? And that phrase is repeated many times in the Old Testament. It is the kingdom of heaven, I believe, walking in God's kingdom. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. He had the sorrow. He had the affliction. And even in his haste, he says, all men are alike. He got to the point that Elijah was in, that there's no other people that are witnesses for the Lord. All men are liars. Not realizing that the Lord told him, I have reserved to myself, 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And then the thought of this question of our text, verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? That word render means to return or to give back a portion of that which has already been given unto us. To render back. Now, first, let's think about it this way. First, we know that the Lord does not need anything from us. He is self-sufficient, but He desires that we render back to Him that which is due His name. Praise, honor, glory, material blessings, helping others. What can I render to Him for all of His benefits toward me? In Psalm chapter 68, it says that His benefits are plenteous. It reads this way in Psalm chapter 68. If I can find it, I don't particularly see the verse at this moment, but it teaches that His benefits are bountiful. Now, he says in verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call, he says again, repeats himself, and call upon the name of the Lord. When the Israelites went up to Jerusalem in celebrations, like for example of the Feast of the Harvest, they would take the cup in signifying their thanksgiving for a bountiful harvest. And the cup of salvation, signifying that they were giving all credit to the Lord for the harvest that they had. The cup of salvation. And so we're to do the same thing today. What shall we render to Him? Number one, we should every day take up our cup of salvation and call upon His name, because He is the only one who can deliver us. Verse 14, we need to pay our vows to the Lord in the presence of His people. What can we render to Him? We can render to Him our worship in His house, in the church. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of some is, as the manner of some is, but we are to be in His house, to praise His holy name. And then he says in verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, at first glance, it might sound as if verse 15 is somewhat out of place or out of context here. Is he talking about the literal physical death of a child of God? He might be. Of course, we often quote this verse in our association minutes when we're doing memorial reports. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And that's true. When a saint goes home to be with the Lord, it is precious in His sight. But I believe you can also apply this in the context of these verses, in the context of saying that we are to die daily to ourselves that we might live unto the Lord. The Apostle Paul says in Corinthian letter, I die daily. And it is a daily process that we are to die to ourselves in order that we may live for Jesus Christ. What can we render to the Lord for all His benefits toward us? In verse 16, he says that we can render unto Him service in His kingdom. For he says, O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. He repeats himself another time, I am Thy servant, the son of Your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. We are the servants of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul makes that same statement many times in the New Testament, that he's a servant of Christ. That he actually says that I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. The idea of being indentured to a master. Now, before Christ came into our heart, we were in bondage and servitude to sin and death. That's all we could do. But now, He has loosed our bonds. Our bonds have been loosed. We've been let out of the prison of sin and death. We are free in Christ. But we are not free to do anything that we want to do. But rather, we are free to do what He would have us do, to live lives that honor Him and glorify Him, and to serve Him. And then listen to this in verse 17. Here, what can we render to the Lord for all of His benefits to us? We can offer to Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. How often when we pray to the Lord, do we start with a laundry list of, Lord, help me with this, help me with that, or bless me in this way or that way? When first of all, we need to start by thanking the Lord for who He is and for what He's already done for us in the past. In Leviticus chapter 7, you can read there where the Lord gave unto Israel of old the thank offerings that they offered to Him. And we are to do that. And the New Testament teaches that we're to give thanks to Him for all things and in all things. And again he says, call upon His name. He repeats that several times. Calling upon His name. Paying our vows to Him in the presence of His people, in the assembly, in the courts of the Lord, in the courts of the Lord's house. He doesn't leave any doubt. In the house of the Lord. We can praise His name wherever we are. But you know, the old saying is, when someone is absent on Sunday morning and they went fishing, they say, well, I can praise the Lord just as good in the fishing boat as I can in the house of the Lord. Well, sure you can, but you can praise Him, but you're supposed to be in His house. It's a matter of priority. For in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Now, let's close with this in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, and beginning then by looking at verse 15 and 16. What can I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. By Him therefore, that is by the Lord Jesus Christ, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, the fruit of our lips. And it comes from the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart, the fruit of our lips. Notice He didn't say the words of our lips. Sometimes our words are not so good because they come from our sinful being. But the fruit of our lips. And then verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What can I render to Him for all His benefits toward me? I can render the sacrifice of praise. I can render doing good works. For that's what we were created for. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But then verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So yes, doing good works, serving others, is a sacrifice well-pleasing to the Lord, rendering to Him for all His benefits, and to communicate. The word there, communicate, means to give. Not talking about talking conversationally, but giving in God's service. We should come to the house of the Lord not with an attitude of what can I get out of it, but rather with the attitude of what can I give into it. And when we give ourselves into the service, then we will get much out of it, you see. You know, Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, heaped up and pressed down and overflowing." And Malachi chapter 3 says, "Test me, prove me, and try me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not pour out upon you a blessing wherewith you shall not even be able to contain it." What shall we render to the Lord for all His blessings in our lives? I think we need to think about this during this time of Thanksgiving and consider what we can each individually do to render back to the Lord for all His blessings upon our lives.